parsha is Mishpatim. And you know that the parashiyot of Yitro and Mishpatim are the two parashiyot that are very much connected to Matan Torah. Not every pasuk, but Matan Torah is described. Moshe Rabbeinu going up on Har Sinai is recorded. And there's a problem. There's a problem in understanding what we are supposed to take away from the story of Matan Torah. I mean, that's what we're always looking for. We're looking for the Torah, the stories of the Torah, to inspire us, to give us direction. Not exactly to lead us, but to give us direction. I think that that's correct. So we'll look every year. I mean, there are a lot of psukim, there are a lot of topics, there's a lot going on. And I thought to look at something that I really never looked at before, never really thought about that much, and that's that pasuk. In the parasha of Mishpatim, there's a lot of Torah material, a lot of halachot. And so generally what we think of is, you know, in order to accept something, you have to know about it. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for Bnei Yisrael to accept the Torah if they didn't know what the Torah was about. So the parasha of Mishpatim generally is a parasha that's full of halachot, full of things that have no connection necessarily to each other. Even though, you know, we're clever at that, we might be able to produce connections. But there are psukim that defy connections with each other. And this pasuk right here is one of them. The pasuk says, Zoveach lelo him yocharam, bilti la shem levado. So you have the same one little pasuk, has six words in it, and it has two shemot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it. Now, I don't know how many of you thought about the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you know that Chazal have already made a distinction. We know that the first pasuk in the Torah is Bereshit Bara Elokim Et HaShamayim Et HaAretz. So God, with the name Elokim, has created heaven and earth. And we say, as the Rambam has taught us, that we don't really know anything about, we don't know anything about God. But we know, and we can think about, the things that God has done. And so the name Elokim refers to God doing justice. Like there's some kind of a notion of justice. There's the right and there's the wrong. There's the tov and there's the ra. And God created the world. The maaseh, the act of creation, was an act that intended to apply justice to the created world. But we know in the stories, even in stories of Bereshit, that it wasn't an easy challenge for the people to live up to the standard of justice. They couldn't do it, and so there was a flood, and there was the Tower of Babel, and there was Noah after the flood. Justice could not produce a world. The world would fail. And as we saw in the time of the flood, the world could not really exist. So in the second chapter, in a pasuk, which is not on the sheet, the pasuk says, B'yom b'ro Hashem Elokim, when God created, the second telling of the story of creation is the creation of the world by Hashem Elohim. Right? Both of these names, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elohim, right? In the same pasuk together, they kind of get together. They kind of get together. Select request. This is really something. I just requested something from the program. The program is talking to me. Okay, here we go. I think I got it. I got approval. What I want is the ability to underline. And I'm getting it now from start annotating. Okay, I started annotating. Here, you have the name Elohim and Yud Kei Vav Kei. And in the second parak, the Torah says, "Biyom Baro Hashem Elohim," that there was a refinement. The creation of the word under the heading of Elohim, which is justice, it just didn't work. So the world had to be recreated after the Mabul, perhaps, under the banner of Hashem Elohim, because Hashem is mercy. So the world could not exist if the founding principle was justice, because then people would have to be punished severely for whatever they did. But it could be created under the banner of Hashem Elohim. Mercy, justice, Hashem Elohim. And so what are the psukim? Like, we'll leave this for a moment. One of the psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to teach B'nai Yisrael when they were waiting for the instruction to Moshe Rabbeinu to go up on Har Sinai and get the Torah and bring it back. One of the psukim is Zoveach LeElohim Yochoram, that if you, the same word that meant justice, when it was used as God, could mean something else, because the word itself is the word for God, plural. Zoveach LeElohim Yochoram. Yochoram, let's say, means Yumat. You see it in Rashi. Zoveach LeElohim, you see Rashi, Lavodazara, Yochoram. Yochoram, where is it? It's right here. Yumat. So it's a pasuk that has God's name in it, and it means if you will give a sacrifice, if you will give a sacrifice to God, but not God. God of Avodah Zarah, right? Idolatry. You will be killed. I understand that there's a strict prohibition against idolatry. But why does the Pasuk have to create this kind of confusing atmosphere? Zoveach, if you give a sacrifice to idolatry, but the idolatry is called Elohim, Yochoram, he will be killed, that I understand. And then the pasuk says, Bilti Lashem Levado. You could only do it Lashem. So does this pasuk have some special connection? Right? Some special connection with the fact that we're waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to be instructed to go up on Har Sinai and get the Torah. Get the Torah means get the Ten Commandments, get the Torah information, halachot, get the Torah. Zoveach le'elokim yochoram. That's what the Torah, what God has taught B'nai Yisrael. It's hard to know the intention or the reason. But what we do know is that when Moshe Rabbeinu was delayed and didn't come down from the mountain as at the exact time that the people wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to come down, they did just that. They did they immediately were able to turn their attention from God to idolatry. And that says something about who they were, who B'nai Yisrael were coming out of Mitzrayim. They were willing to accept Moshe Rabbeinu's determined attempt to teach them Torah, to teach them that what they are receiving is something really special. Right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was gonna teach them. But as soon as they were disconnected, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared, then they were Zoveach Le'Elohim. They were Zoveach Le'Elohim. Because it was in them. It was in them in order to change the people of Israel from the people who were able and determined to accept the Torah, were people who rejected whatever was inside of them. Well, that was not such an easy thing. Not such an easy thing. So you see Avodah Zarah, and you see Yehoram Yumat. There are a few other things I would like to. Let's go, Ezra, can we go to the next page? Ezra, what do I do? Ezra, are you still there? Ezra.
Yeah, you're on page two, right? Yeah. That's what I'm on.
Let's go to the next page. Sorry. We'll see if we have time. There we go. So there's another question that people ask. You see, this pasuk in last week's parasha, Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe, you know, after Yitro and Moshe Rabbeinu meet up with each other, Yitro is so happy and so proud of the fact that he has such a distinguished son-in-law. That's a rare thing. Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe, Yitro, Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, he took Ola Uzvachim Le'Elohim. He himself took an Ola Uzvachim Le'Elohim. And like everybody wonders about this. So how did he know about Ola and Zvachim? I mean, assuming that Yitro was doing this for the benefit, or the way he was thanking God. But he came from a world, according to Chazal, where God was present at all times. He took an Ola Uzvachim Le'Elohim. How did he do that? The Gemara says, as I told you, the Gemara says that you have to take an Ola Uzvachim Lashem, Liyud Kei Vav Kei. How did he do this, Yitro? By Avo Aaron, Kolzik Nei Yisrael, Lechol Lechem in Chotein Moshe. They all came to eat together with Lifnei Elohim. Now, who's that Elohim? Is that the God of Yitro, the God that Yitro came to Moshe Rabbeinu with? Or is that the God of Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe, Ola Uzvachim. It should have been Liyud Kei Vav Kei, according to the Gemara in Menachot. But in any event, we understand, or we can understand, that even somebody who converts, accepts the Torah, accepts the standard of behavior that the Torah demands. I mean, even that person, it doesn't mean that he totally eradicates what came before him. And we know that the people of Israel at this time standing at Har Sinai, they had baggage that they brought with them. The proof that they had baggage that they brought with them was that they built this golden calf. They built the golden calf. It's not in the parasha of Yitro. It's not in the parasha of Mishpatim. But we know that that's what they did. We know that. So you mean even conversion, and you know the Rambam points out that B'nai Yisrael coming, standing at Har Sinai to receive the Torah was as though all of them converted. They all knew that they had to eradicate something that was inside of them. And that was what was inside of them might have been Vayikach Yitro Choten Moshe Olez Vachim Re'elohim. But they still had it inside of them. After all, what was it that B'nai Yisrael were willing to do when they built the golden calf? They were singing and dancing, and they were sacrificing. They were doing things that we would not even imagine that we can do. Let's look at another pasuk. Bereshit, Perek Aleph, pasuk Kavav. Vayom Elokim, again Elokim. I mean, now we have some kind of doubt. This is certainly, there's no one else in the picture except for God. God is creating. So God says, Naaseh Adam b'salmenu kidmutenu, and everybody knows that there's a question because it's plural. Vayomer Elokim Naaseh Adam b'salmenu. Who's Naaseh? Who's the plural? Vayomer Elokim, God said, God is the creator. By Reshit Bara Elokim et Hashamayim et Haaretz, God created the world. By Yom Elokim, I will create man. Naaseh Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu, somehow plural. So everybody knows that that's a question. Who's the plural here? So the Ibn Ezra and others after the Ibn Ezra said, what are you getting nervous about? The word Elohim looks like a plural, even though we all know that God is unique, singular. There's only one God. God has oneness. So we don't get nervous about the Elohim. Elohim is a name. And if it looks like a plural, okay, it looks like a plural. Is it a plural? No, not plural at all. And so the word, the form Elohim, and Elohim created the world, Bereshit Bara Elohim, it looks like a plural, and therefore it affected the Naaseh that follows the word Elohim, and also the word Tzalmeinu, Bekidmuteinu, but it's not really a plural at all. Not really a plural at all. And so Rashi, in dealing with this problem, says, Avona avan vitanuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An vitanuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see if I can. Oh, great. Okay. Anvitanuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anvitanuto, humility, shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu labadnu mikan. We learn about God's humility from this pasuk. Lefi, I'm reading the Rashi, Shehadam bedmuto, bedmut ha-malachim, vayitkan ubo, since man looks like an angel, and the angels were jealous, lefikach nimlach lahem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with them. Ukeshudan et ha-malachim, when he judged the angels, who nimlach bepamalia shelo, he consulted. So, according to Rashi, consulting is an act of I'm not doing so well on this. Anyway, act of consulting is an act of humility. Act of humility. And I always think, I always think that, you know, this is a pasuk found in the first chapter of Bereshit. And what it means is that, you know, God created humility. And humility is seen in the Torah as being the most significant human trait. The most significant trait that we can develop. And when the Torah came to write an epitaph for Moshe Rabbeinu, that was his epitaph. Anav mikol adam. And what does anav mean, you most humble person in the world? Well, it means that having confronted on Har Sinai, having confronted God and having studied the Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, what other kavod could Moshe Rabbeinu ever aspire to? What could he ever aspire to? So that's what the meaning of humility is. Humility is when you can like see the world in a different order of things. The most important thing is God. The most important thing is your relationship with God. So we see in some way that the names of God, Vayom Elokim, Nase Adam Bitzalmeinu Kidmuteinu, you see it's there. Nase Adam Bitzalmeinu Kidmuteinu, and what's his name? Rashi. And Rashi says, that's humility. That's the creation of humility. It's not that God had to be humble. It was sort of a present. It was something God gave us. Gave us humility. Because humility was ultimately the ability to stand before God. You need that humility. You need that humility. And the one who was able to do it best was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was able to do it best. And the people of Israel at this time, in these parashiyot, were not able to do that. But interestingly enough, Yitro, he was able. He was able to do it, to be able, he was able to be humble. He was able to be worthy of standing before God. So it may be that this pasuk, Vayitekach Yitro Choten Moshe, Ola Zvachim Elohim, I mean, to give to God, to be part of, to make God part of the joy that you have in meeting up with your son-in-law, who has proven himself to be such a remarkable person. So Yitro, Choten Moshe, Lez Vachim Le'Elohim, there are like basic elements, positive elements, where man places himself before God and says, we're going to have this joyous moment together, Moshe and Aaron, and the elders of Yisrael, we're going to eat together. We're going to have the Olah Uzvachim Le'Elohim. It may not be halachic, but it is something that we want to do. And so Bnei Yisrael left their devotion to Moshe Rabbeinu at that moment. They left their obligation to wait to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they have not yet received the Torah because Moshe Rabbeinu had not yet come down. And so when they wanted to be part of the divine response, where they wanted to have God with them, even though they made a mistake, yes, but they were like Yitro at that time. They were unable to reach the heights of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in giving the Ola Uzvachim. They couldn't do that, but they were able to call upon what was inside of them, just as Yitro was able to call upon what was inside of him, the Ola and Zvachim Lelohim. Can you move the page, Ezra? There's more, isn't there? No. Oh, here we go. A pasuk in Perek Gimel, pasuk Kabet. Right, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Hein Haadam, Hayak Echad Mimenu, Ladat Tov V'ra. Vayomer Hashem Elokim. You see, in Perek Gimel, the one who is creating is Hashem Elokim. This combination of justice and mercy. That's a bad thing, God, that man is not always humble, but sometimes man is full of chutzpah. He'll know what is good and what is bad. Gam me'etz ha'chayim v'achal v'chay le'olam. He's got something in him to hayak echad mimenu. Rashi explains, harei hu yachid betachtonim kimo she'ani yachid be'elyonim. It's a problem. So what I want to do is now try to review and I'm going to tell you what we are talking about. But first, I have to look at this pasuk in Yoshua. Perek Kav Dalet Pasuk Yutet Vayomer Yoshua. Remember Yoshua. He inherited the mantle from Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomer Yoshua El Ha'am. Perek Kav Dalet is like Yoshua makes an agreement with Bnei Yisrael. He says, "Vayomer Yoshua la'am lo tuchlu la'avod et Hashem ki Elohim kidoshim hu el kano hu lo yisa lepish'eichem ulechatoteichem." Right? Lo tuchlu la'avod et Hashem. You're not going to be able to demand Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, mercy, ki Elohim kidoshim hu, el kanohu, lo yusu lepish'eichem ulechatoteichem. In other words, what happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to save Bnei Yisrael. We'll see it in the coming parshiyot, that Moshe Rabbeinu somehow was able to save Bnei Yisrael from their sin of building the Egel, of building the Egel Azahav. Yeshua says to them, that time is over. That's not going to happen again. Ki, and that's what he says, ויאמר יהושע אל העם, לא תוכלו לעבוד את השם. You're not going to be able to serve only Yud-K Vav-K. Ki Elohim Kidoshim Hu. God is there. The Elohim is there. El Kanohu Lo Yisal Pishechem. He will not be able to suffer your transgressions and your sins. You'll have to pay for what you do. So that changed. Moshe Rabbeinu had a special place in leadership. His leadership was special because he was able, he, Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to call upon the merciful God, right? And to kind of overlook the God of justice, the God who said, everything you do, you have to pay for. And that was the statement that Moshe, that Yoshua ben Nun made to Bnei Yisrael at the end of his life. He says, we're going back to the way it started. We're going back to Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. It was first that it is true, Yoshua ben Nun said. God created the world with justice. Then later on, the world, the justice was modified by mercy. And that mercy that was modified was what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to use in order to gain mercy for the people who built the golden calf, for the people who were not able to sacrifice to the God of HaKadosh, of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, as the Gemara in Menachos says, but were able only to sacrifice to Elohim, which was itself a transgression. And that's what the pasuk, the pasuk says, so Zoveach le'Elohim Yecharan, if you sacrifice to Elohim in the Beit HaMikdash, or when you go to the Beit HaMikdash to sacrifice, it has to be to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It has to be the God that is unique, that is separate from any other thoughts of God. And so this pasuk was included in the Parsha of Mishpatim, because the pasuk is the way God says to us that the feeling that you had, the result of your being part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even before Matan Torah, that has to come to an end. That's what Yoshua said. Ve'yomer Yoshua la'am lo tuchlu la'avod et Yud-Kei Vav-Kei ki Elokim kidoshim. They are still Elokim in you. El Kanahu, Lo Yisal Pishechem L'chateichem. That world is over with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was able to be the model of modesty for the world, modesty meaning connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei to dominate. But Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. Yoshua said, Abba was gone. Right? And he said, Vayomer Yoshua el ha'am, I'm reading the pasuk again. Lo tuchlu la'avod et Hashem. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. That's a problem. Ki Elokim kedoshim hu. Because there is God there with you. El kanohu. He is a jealous God. Lo yisal pishechem l'chatotechem. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu asked for. I asked for God to accept pishechem l'chatotechem, to somehow put up with the fact that you transgress, that you sin, right? But that's not going to be the case. That won't happen. That happened once, and not going to happen, not going to happen again. So the pasuk appears. That pasuk appears in the parasha Mishpatim, Zoveach Leilokim. Zoveach Leilokim Yehoram. That if you do it in the wrong way, you kind of approach God in the plural, which is what was inside of you before you came to speak to God. That's Yehoram. That person is going to be killed, going to be destroyed. That's what it says in the pasuk. But it just tells us. It tells us what the problem was of and Matan Torah, that the people were not able to suffer the disappointment of Moshe Rabbeinu not coming to them at the time that they thought they would come to. So this pasuk becomes, I think, very important is that when you approach God, you have to approach God in the right way, in the way that you were taught to approach God. Because if you don't, you approach God in the wrong way, and you place yourself in the context of the Yehoshua ben Nun. And so I have to remember, Zoveach Leilokim Yehoram. If you sacrifice incorrectly, it's because you have in you that incorrect notion. Zoveach Leilokim Yehoram, Bilti Lashem Levado. You have to focus. You have to get rid of whatever else is inside of you. You can't be the person who you once were before Matan Torah. And even though it might still be inside of you, you have to be able to overcome it. Have a good Shabbos. All the best. Be well.